WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Acting ICE Director Todd Lyons tells CBS News the agency had already been operating under a higher threat posture, but would now, quote, reevaluate how we're doing operations. This after a deadly shooting at an ICE facility in Dallas, as correspondent Omar Villafranca reports.
Three detainees were shot, one was killed, and two are hospitalized in critical condition. A woman was recording on her phone near the facility when gunshots were heard. FBI agent Joe Rothrock.
That the FBI is investigating this incident as an act of targeted violence.
Police quickly found the shooter, who died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Days after President Trump publicly appealed to the Attorney General and the Department of Justice to charge former FBI Director James Comey with a crime and with time running out, the newly appointed interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia is in the spotlight. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
Lindsey Halligan will decide whether to ask a grand jury to charge former FBI Director James Comey with a crime, and she has until Tuesday to do so. The statute of limitations for allegations that Comey gave false statements to Congress 5 years ago.
Jimmy Kimmel's return to his late-night ABC show brought him a massive audience on TV and online, despite being blacked out in almost a quarter of TV households by broadcasters Nexstar and Sinclair. Ryan Steinberg, senior TV editor at Variety, sees a softening in their position.
You're seeing Nexstar and Sinclair with statements saying they're discussing with ABC a way to kind of come back, which isn't as strident as they were.
Over 6 million watched Kimmel on TV. ABC says more than 26 million people watched it on social media, including YouTube. The widow of one of the 64 people killed on an American regional jet which collided with an Army helicopter just outside Washington, D.C., has filed a lawsuit against the airline and the federal government. CBS transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve expects more lawsuits will follow.
This wrongful death suit is likely the first of many more to come, given that there were 67 people killed in January's mid-air collision between an American Airlines regional jet and that Army Black Hawk helicopter that essentially flew into the side of the airplane.
A new CDC report focuses on sexually transmitted disease in the U.S., and CBS's Stacey Lynn has taken a look.
While sexually transmitted diseases like gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis were down in adults, congenital syphilis cases in newborns were up. This is when an infected mother passes the disease to their baby. The CDC says one reason for the rise could be that only 80% of pregnant women are getting screened for syphilis.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
A big win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers held on to beat the Padres 3-1 in San Diego with some good defense. Jackson Chourio playing left field, robbing the Padres of what would have been a three-run homer. So with the victory, the Brewers have 96 wins for the season. That ties the franchise record set in 2011 and in 2018. The magic number is now 1 to give them the most wins in the National League ahead of the Phillies and could be home field advantage in the playoffs. NFL, the Packers had 5 false start penalties in their loss to the Browns in Cleveland on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things, whether it's just, like you said, we got a lot of motions, different things where you got to go on longer snap counts. Sometimes it's the D-line, you know, making, you know, move calls, stunt calls, things like that, where the O-line might, you know, get triggered by that loud noise. So there's a lot of different things, but it's an area where, you know, the whole offense, we just got to do a good job locking in the snap count and just focusing on that.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around for the overnight. We'll have light winds and morning low temperatures will start off in the upper 40s. For your Thursday, mostly sunny skies and a northwest wind, highs in the mid-70s. We'll see more mid-70s heading into Friday. Right now, it's 51.
Todd Alba.
Jimmy Kimmel is back on Late Night. Keegan Kelly is in from Crack.com to tell us what it means moving forward, and we'll recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubble, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy hump day to each and every one of you. Well, the magic number for the Brewers is 2. What do I mean by that? Either through a combination of Brewers wins or Philly losses, we're just 2 games away from securing the home field advantage for the entirety of the playoffs. I don't know about you, but I've been staying up, though it has been painful these last couple of evenings, with the Brewers games out in California, which start late and end even later. Let's hope they have some better luck in their next series. But again, that magic number is 2. And of course, Civic Media is going to have you and all your Brewer-loving friends and family covered. We're going to have the Brewers Radio Network at all of our local affiliates. We'll have more on that as we approach the playoffs. I've got my NLDS tickets. I hope you do too. Very exciting. But in very, very concerning news, on the heels of Donald Trump forcing out or firing a Trump loyalist, conservative Federalist Society, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia from last week. I talked about this with Jim Santel yesterday on the show. This guy's name was Eric Siebert. He was picked by Trump. He is a Trump loyalist. He is a MAGA guy. But even that guy concluded he did not have enough evidence to even bring a potential indictment to a grand jury. He declined to do so, specifically as to Adam Schiff and Jim Comey. Donald Trump, of course, DMing, but maybe truth posting accidentally to Pam Bondi, basically directing her to go after his political enemies. And then this week, Seifert's out. And Lindsay Halligan, one of the Trump loyalist personal lawyers, has been appointed acting U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. By the way, woman's never prosecuted a single criminal case in her life, and she's an insurance lawyer. Reporting within the last hour or so, it is that former FBI director James Comey is expected to be indicted on federal criminal charges in the coming days. I cannot tell you how incredibly insane this moment is. Nobody really knows what the charges are. Some are thinking that it might be an accusation, a criminal accusation, that he lied to Congress during his testimony on September 30th, 2020, about whether he had authorized a leak of information to the Wall Street Journal for an October 2016 article ahead of that presidential election. Wow, folks. This is getting real. We will keep you posted as news breaks on this over the afternoon. But I'm scared a little bit for our country. This is a dark time. And again, I just want to point out that Trump picked U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, thought there was not evidence. He refused to bring these charges to a grand jury for indictment. He got fired. Trump picks the insurance lady lawyer, and now Jim Comey is apparently going to be criminally indicted. This is not how it's supposed to work. Let's turn locally. We've also got a little bit of breaking news on the state front. Also making me a little concerned about our present moment as Wisconsinites and Americans. Scott Bauer reporting on X, former Wisconsin state lawmaker Brett Hulsey, who angered fellow Democrats with his increasingly outlandish stunts, including promising to hand out KKK hoods to Republicans in 2014, is apparently running for governor. He previously ran in 2014, coming in a distant second in the primary. You know what we need a lot less of? Wackadoo, outlandish Democrats. I just need some normal. How about you? Normal candidates with good ideas that will serve Wisconsin families, help us all move forward together, help us reach our full potential. And I'm so very happy to be joined by one such candidate this afternoon to start the show off. It is my pleasure to be joined by Trevor Young. He is a state Senate candidate for District 21, which is, you know, it's sort of the South Milwaukee Oak Creek. Trevor, welcome. Tell people what the areas that Senate District 21 covers, and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here with us.
Yeah, Maggie, thanks for having me on. That was quite the introduction, just being the normal guy. So I appreciate that, and we're going to keep that mantle as a part of the campaign. So District 21 is the north side of the city of Racine. And then up into the Wind Point area in Caledonia, in Raymond, in Racine County, and then the southwest suburbs of the city of Milwaukee. So you've got Greenfield, Greendale, Hales Corners, Franklin, and even parts of the city of Milwaukee. So it is a 50-50 district where we're going to have to talk to every voter, win their trust, win their support with those just matter-of-fact, common-sense ideas about how we solve folks' problems. So excited to be in the race.
I'm so thrilled about your candidacy, Trevor. Your personal story is amazing. You're going to get to that. But you're running against State Senator Van Wongard, who's been around for quite some time. He's the majority caucus chair in the state Senate. Pretty powerful guy. What do you put your odds at? Because this is there's a broader picture here, and that is, I think, both on the Republican and Democratic side. I think we need a little changing of the guard, if you will, a little new blood. And Van Wongard has been around for far too long, in my opinion, regardless of his politics. Tell me, what's the plan to beat this guy who's been in the state Senate for so long?
Well, I think the first thing is having a positive vision for the future. I think folks are sick and tired of nastiness in politics, name-calling, division. And I think as Wisconsinites, all we want for is our public servants to be honest, to answer the phone when they call, and to bring the best idea forward, have open debates and about public policy that makes people's lives better. And I think that we're going to offer that as a part of this campaign, and we're going to work really hard to introduce ourselves to everybody in the district. You know, I've run for office at the local level, and if there's one thing that's taught me is that partisanship comes second to people looking at you, reading you, thinking that you're shooting straight. And so I want to make sure that we get a positive message out there and tell voters the truth and be hopeful.
Yeah, it's a common theme on this program, having worked both in federal government and having advised governors and having spent a long time working in local government. I constantly try to tell people, any partisan overlay when you're looking at, I think, both state legislative as well as local common council or village board elections, it is complete nonsense. We're talking about the building blocks that make our lives good, about delivering those services that allow our families to flourish and to be as healthy and prosperous as we can. And that is really a nonpartisan thing. Everybody wants that for their family. Trevor, I do want to get to your specific policy proposals and some of your ideas. I love the five T's, by the way.
We're going to
tell people all about that. But I wanted to start with your personal story, Trevor, because it is so incredibly powerful. It is, in my opinion, the American dream in many ways. Share with people a little bit about your story.
Maggie, you're exactly right. And that's why I'm running for office, because I owe everything to my hometown and I owe everything to this country and this state. I was born halfway across the world. I was in an orphanage until I was 2 years old, adopted from Krasnodar, Russia. And my dad, who's a single parent, small business owner, he cuts hair. That explains a bit of this. He picked me up from an orphanage and brought me to Racine, where I was a product of the public schools and a product of my neighborhood. And I grew up around people who spoke different languages, who had different backgrounds, who, from house to house, everybody had a different story. And so that upbringing and that sense of gratitude for where I could have been is what informed wanting to get involved in giving back. So went to university for urban studies and urban planning because, I thought that problems would be solved best at the local level because that's where folks are most held accountable. And, through my experience on the city council and now as the transit director running a budget of over $10 million annually, I've seen that the state is getting in the way of good things that we could be doing for folks. My job as transit director is to make sure that people can get to work, get to school, get to doctor's appointments, get to the Social Security office. And time again, we've seen austerity and the prioritization of, tax giveaways to those who already have more than enough, rather than growing the economy from the bottom up and the middle out. And so that's why I'm running, because I think that we can't give up on places that I grew up in here in Racine.
Trevor, when I hear you and other folks that have immigrated to the United States, what I hear frequently, the common thread, is not just their love of their pets. They do love some pets, folks. That's Trevor Young. What I hear very frequently from folks that have immigrated to the United States is their commitment and their thankfulness, the incredible value and giving back that I hear from immigrants like yourself and from all different places in this world is this overwhelming sense of thankfulness and gratitude and a desire to give back, both directly and indirectly, in your case by serving as a public servant, building Racine's transit system, which is so essential for communities. People don't realize, we don't talk about transit nearly enough, I think. So I just wanted to take this moment. We had this terrible shooting at an ICE facility in Texas today, Trevor, and I wanted to highlight your story of coming to the United States and again urge people, we can disagree about public policy and we can disagree about a lot of things. We resolve our disputes in courtrooms and we do so peacefully. But to remind ourselves that at all times, immigrants have been the lifeblood of this country. And Trevor, you are no exception to that rule of what it means to be an American. I wondered if you wanted to make a brief comment. We've got about a minute left given today's events.
Well, Maggie, thank you for the opportunity to speak on this. I come from a country where violence defines its politics. And I am so fortunate to be in a country where we are able to vote, we are able to have freedom of speech, we're able to disagree agreeably and may the best idea win through elections and through our legal system. And so we need to preserve that, we need to bring down the temperature, and we need to make sure that we're engaged civilly in dialogue that brings us together, not tears us apart. So I hear that loud and clear, and my personal story speaks to that.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just joining us, this is the Maggie Don Show. We're speaking with Trevor Young, a state Senate candidate for District 21. He is currently the director of Ride Racine, Racine's public transit system. And as we talk about how to engage in the true battle of ideas, the true battle of policies, we're going to get into those policies that Trevor is proposing to help propel District 21 and the state of Wisconsin forward. And our deep reverential respect for the rule of law will come up in the 5 o'clock hour when I'm joined by two two former federal appeals court judges, and we talk about their efforts to educate the public about the importance of the independent judiciary in this country. All that coming up in 5 o'clock, but stay with me and Trevor right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This conversation continues on the other side.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I have got a guest with me today that I think represents, amongst other great guests that I've had on this program, but really represents the best of the future of the Democratic Party. His name is Trevor Young. He is a candidate for the State Senate District 21 in this next year. He has been on Racine's Common Council. He was, in fact, the youngest person elected to the Common Council since 1862, y'all. Whoa! And he is currently the director of Ride Racine. Again, thanks for sticking around with us, Trevor. Great to have you with us. And I wanted to talk about these, the five T's. Folks, you can find these and more background on Trevor at Trevor Young. His last name is spelled J-U-N as in Carl Jung, TrevorYoung.com. Tell us about the five T's and how you landed on these key parts of your platform for your candidacy.
Well, that's a great question, Maggie, and thank you for allowing me to talk about like the policies, right? And I think that's a huge part that gets missed in these political discussions because we're so focused on personality. So the opportunity to talk about the ideas that make a difference in people's lives, I really do appreciate that. So the five T's are just something that we came up with to frame how do we make people's lives better in southeastern Wisconsin? How do we become more economically competitive? How do we attract the next generation of talent? How do we make sure that people have the skills that they need to support themselves and their families? So the five T's are this. Number one, training. We have to make sure that people have those skills to be able to get good paying jobs in order to build the next generation of economic growth. Number two is talent. What are we doing in terms of infrastructure, in terms of amenities within southeastern Wisconsin to attract folks who have those skills already? And number three, transportation. We've got to get the basics right, and we have to invest in choices when it comes to transportation. May that be having quality roads, having public transportation systems, having passenger rail expanded throughout the state of Wisconsin. Technology. What can we do to leverage this revolution in technology to better the functions of state government? And then finally, tourism. What can we do to make sure that visitors fuel the quality of life for residents? So if we have a public policy framework based around those five T's, I think we can actually make a huge difference in people's lives and then take care of those who are also the most vulnerable.
As an economist and someone that's worked at various levels of government, those five T's resonated with me because they're not partisan things. These are very common sense. These are things that I think every single one of us can understand. We've got great universities. We've got to make sure that we've got a talent pipeline, that we're not experiencing brain drain. Training for people. You know, I'm old enough to remember when NAFTA was coming about, and every single economist that was worth their salt said very clearly, we're going to need relocation and job retraining and upskilling. Well, Republicans stood in the way back then, and we've seen a massive dislocation and disaffectation of folks that used to be able to support their families through manufacturing jobs all across Wisconsin. That was really, and frankly, all across the upper Midwest. It's why they're all swing states now, because people correctly perceive that they're getting screwed by the billionaire and hundred millionaire class that's got their names on buildings and, you know, cutting $20 million checks for Supreme Court campaigns, maybe in the state of Wisconsin. I've digressed. Transportation, technology, and tourism. I just think this is so appealing. I think it is dead on, Trevor. And I wanted to ask you a little bit in our closing. We've got about 3 minutes here. I want you to talk about how important it is that you actually run something. You're in charge of a $10 million budget. I've worked in the public sector and run departments and had a lot of folks work for me. You work with public servants. You know what it's like to try to get things done. Describe for folks an example of that or why you think that experience makes you particularly qualified, especially given your opponent's long-term sucking at the teat of the taxpayers as a longtime elected official.
Yeah, I think a great example is when the Social Security office in Racine moved from the heart of the city out near the interstate. So here's a population that absolutely needs this public service, you know, the elderly, the disabled, and bringing that asset from the heart of where people can, walk there or take transit out to a suburbanized center along an interstate corridor. When that announcement was made, we didn't, try to entertain a bureaucracy. We didn't try to see which check boxes that we needed to take. We knew that senior citizens needed to get to the Social Security office. We knew that people needed to get to that building. And so for us, we jumped on it and we made sure we made that adjustment. Even though I'm 29 years old, I've run this department for 3 years. I've served on the city council with the city of Racine for about 6.5 years. And that experience, being able to be proactive, but at the same time, recognizing that state government has been adversarial to our mission is what inspired me to do this work.
Folks, again, that is Trevor Young. He's running for the state Senate District 21 seat against a guy that's held it for far too long. I like to see fresh blood everywhere in our politics these days. You can find out more about Trevor and his five T's to move Wisconsin and District 21 forward at trevoryoung.com. It's about putting the partisanship aside and actually crafting solutions like you did when they moved to the Social Security office. People got to get there, so you figure out how to get it done, and you get it done. I love doers. I don't love permanent politicians. So best of luck to you, Trevor. Please come back and talk to us again. When we come back on the other side of this fine program, I'm going to be talking to another doer, Sarah Harrison. She's a candidate for State Senate District 5, small business owner, and that will be Wednesday's edition of Broad Appeal right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
CBS News Brief, a shooting at a Dallas ICE processing facility left a detainee dead, two injured. Correspondent Omar Villafranca.
It's the third shooting in Texas directed at ICE or U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Todd Lyons is acting director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
My number one concern right now is making sure that men and women can go out there and do their mission, but they go home safe to their families.
Officials say the shooter died from a self-inflicted gunshot. Jimmy Kimmel's return to TV drew a big audience, as CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti tells us.
Kimmel called it. ABC confirming now more than 6 million people tuned in, nearly four times the typical average, and that's considering more than 20% of the nation couldn't even watch.
New cancer predictions are published by Lancet. Study co-author Ali Mokhtad says location and poverty are factors.
In poor countries, low-income countries, low-middle-income countries, the rates of cancer adjusted for age will increase.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
A big win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers held on to beat the Padres 3-1 in San Diego with some good defense. Jackson Chourio playing left field, robbing the Padres of what would have been a three-run homer. So with the victory, the Brewers have 96 wins for the season. That ties the franchise record set in 2011 and in 2018. The magic number is now 1 to give them the most wins in the National League ahead of the Phillies and could be home field advantage in the playoffs. NFL, the Packers had 5 false start penalties in their loss to the Browns in Cleveland on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things, whether it's just, like you said, we got a lot of motions, different things where you got to go on longer snap counts. Sometimes it's the D-line, you know, making, you know, move calls, stunt calls, things like that, where the O-line might, you know, get triggered by that loud noise. So there's a lot of different things, but it's an area where, you know, the whole offense, we just got to do a good job locking into the snap count and just focusing on that.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Jimmy Kimmel made an emotional return to his talk show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Tuesday night. The host delivered a 17-minute monologue where he still did not hold back against the FCC or the Trump administration, but did clarify he never intended insensitivity toward Erica Kirk or the Kirk kids, even tearing up a bit throughout the monologue after an emotional few days. His biggest line of the night was probably after he played a clip of the president saying Kimmel doesn't have good ratings. When the camera went back to Jimmy, he said, "I do tonight," and the crowd stood and applauded like it did several times throughout the monologue or when he hugged Guillermo. Overall, the night was a big slapback at government overreach, with the host citing support from conservatives like Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, and Ted Cruz. Even Joe Rogan, not so courageously, backed Kimmel after finally feeling it was safe to do so. It will be interesting to see how long the love lasts, but for now, Jimmy Kimmel is happy to be back. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around for the overnight. We'll have light winds and morning low temperatures will start off in the upper 40s. For your Thursday, mostly sunny skies and a northwest wind, highs in the mid-70s. We'll see more mid-70s heading into Friday. Right now, it's 51.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll join you live from Madison, and we'll hear from Sherita Booker about some of the fall festivals and other events that could fill a road trip weekend in Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 4:30. It is Wednesday, and so it is time for one of my favorite segments. We call it Broad Appeal. I bring on broads, and I mean that respectfully, reverentially. We bring on amazing female candidates, elected officials, political leaders, organizers, and activists from all across the state and beyond to talk about why they are stepping up in such a fraught time in our nation's political history. We've got a great doer, a great candidate with us for this next half hour. Her name is Sarah Harrison. She's running for the state Senate District 5. I'm going to have her describe what that covers geographically. It's an interesting cross-section. Now, folks, just like my prior guests, and again, big thanks to Trevor Young, candidate for the 21st State Senate District. The 21st district and the 5th district, these are toss-up districts in 2026. Mm-hmm. These are the districts that Democrats have to pick up in the state Senate races in order to take back the state Senate. We're going to talk about that race, but welcome, Sarah. Thank you for spending some of your Wednesday afternoon with us.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. Glad to be here.
I want to start where I left off with Trevor, which was I was talking to him about his experience running Racine's transit system. And I constantly talk about on this program how important I think it is, having worked at various levels of government, to have elected officials that have actually run things, whether that's in the private or worked in other jobs other than other than only as an elected official, whether that's in the private sector or the public sector. And you are a business owner, and your business is a logistics operational specialist firm to help businesses manage that. And I love this. So folks, if you don't know what logistics is, Sarah's going to tell you what it is. And this is absolutely about getting things done, and particularly complicated things at that. Tell folks what logistics is.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, so I was in the corporate logistics world for about 20 years. I managed budgets up to $175 million. I ran a distribution center where we had over 200 people. Some of them had worked in the building longer than I had been on the planet at that point in time. So logistics is all about getting the right thing to the right place at the right time and making sure that it's the right fit for all the folks throughout the process. So something might be really great for a person in receiving, but it might be a real pain in the butt for someone in shipping. You want to make sure that it's going through the process with the least amount of friction possible. So you're trying to serve a lot of masters, which sounds an awful lot like politics. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I think is really interesting about this is logistics management is about trying to optimize. You have a lot of constraints that have to be built in. You certainly, I would assume, were quite busy trying to figure out how to solve some of our supply chain problems coming during and through COVID. And I think that aptitude for complexity and trying to get things to run efficiently to serve both, you know, on the receiving end or on the shipping end, I think that has a real direct application in government. But let me start with the basics, Sarah.
Yep.
Why in the hell are you doing this? It is rough out there right now.
It is. It is indeed. It is rough out there. So I've been involved on the back end in volunteering and knocking doors and doing all that kind of stuff since I was 19 years old. So I've been around, knocking around the political universe for a while. Never wanted to run for office until my kids were at a school board meeting. We're in the Waukesha School District, so we're very internationally famous for our school board. And they were absolutely not heard. And I thought, you know what, if my kid at age 13 has the guts to stand in front of this room and they are absolutely not going to listen, then I want to make sure that we're putting the right people in those roles. And so I got involved with running for school board in a 60% conservative area. I came within 1% of being on that board. So very close. And then after that, Sarah Rodriguez asked me to run for her former assembly seat. And I said no. And then she asked me again. And I said no. And we played that game for a little while. And eventually I said yes. And so ever since then, I've been involved in the state legislative level. I ran for District 13 in 2022. And then when the maps changed, I ran for 15 in 2024.
Yeah, I also love, if you tell me you're a reluctant candidate, you've probably won my vote immediately. Right? I mean,
right.
And I'm going to maybe put a generalization out there. When I know that a candidate is reluctant, when somebody says to me, you know, I don't know if I can do that, or that's not really me, or I'm concerned about it, I don't think I can win, that to me tells me that I don't have someone who frankly comes from an entitlement mindset, or that presumes to know what everybody needs, and of course that's me. And I say that as someone who used to be the one with my hand up in class all the time, but I never presume to lead, right? So I deeply, deeply respect that. And one of the themes that I talk about, and it's virtually every week during this segment, Sarah, is when I'm talking to female candidates and elected officials, they all have a story that shares the parallel that you just shared with us and all of our listeners. And that is that you saw something in your life or in your community, in this case, your kids trying to be heard at a school board, and the right thing didn't happen. And that became the catalyst. Yep. That's just such a powerful message. Sarah, what do you hope? Again, you're going to have a challenging race. It's kind of a toss-up district. We have your opponent is about as cookie cutter of a Republican as I could ever envision. What is your platform? What are the things, the issues that are closest to your heart that you want the voters of the 5th District to know about? What do you want to do differently?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, the important thing is what's close to their heart, right? So I'm out talking to folks in the community all the time. We do these walk and talks where we go for about a mile and we just chat about what's on your mind, what's going on in your neighborhood, whether it's in West Allis or if it's in Pewaukee or if it's in my little tiny segment of Milwaukee. Wherever we are, I want to know what's on their mind. And there's a couple of things that I keep hearing from the folks I'm talking to. And I'm going to preface this by saying I do not always agree with James Carville, but he was right when he said, it's the economy, stupid. Mm. People are really feeling the economic pressure right now. And there's a couple layers to that. So from a personal finance perspective, folks are really feeling the pinch in terms of healthcare, childcare, housing, making sure that they can actually make their budget work and provide their basic needs. And then on another level, when we look at the activities happening in Madison, we have all these what we call unfunded mandates. Mm. So I'm going to tell a community they have to do a certain thing, but I'm not going to give them any money to do it.
And just to be clear, I want people to understand what this is, because it is a recurring problem in basically every single community in the state. It doesn't matter if you're a red or blue jurisdiction. When we say unfunded mandate, what we mean is that the state government has enacted some law that requires a local government to provide some service or take some action, but they provide no funding
when they put that requirement in place. Hence the term unfunded. They don't provide funding, but they demand, they tell you it's in law, you must do X, Y, and Z. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of these things across the state. It's why you've seen local governments in such a fiscal pinch. I'm so sorry to butt in there, but it's such an important thing, and it's happening all over, Sarah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my opponent, the incumbent in the seat, voted against the budget, and his reasoning was it didn't cut enough spending. I would have also voted against that budget because it didn't fully fund our public schools. It didn't continue to support our communities. So it's kind of funny because we both would have been opposed, but for totally different reasons. So that's one, economy. Another thing that people are still worried about, and it's not quite as intense as it was in previous years, but reproductive freedom, getting that put into our law clearly, permanently, without loopholes, really defining that. And the other thing, especially with the younger folks that I hear a lot of concern about, is environmental issues. So we're talking green energy, we're talking renewable resources, and there's also a healthcare aspect to that. And my youngest just did a project this year about sustainable agriculture, and it's amazing. There's all sorts of ways that we can make it work. We just have to all have a plan and stick to it. So those are the big three.
Yeah, when I think about natural resources and resource stewardship, right, I tend to sort of try to get away from like climate because people lose their minds. But everybody in Wisconsin, like everybody spends time outside. We know that tourism is a huge part of our state's economy, and agriculture and manufacturing. So I talk about it in terms of like resource management, resource stewardship. And to me, this is, and what I hear in your answer in part, Sarah, about these environmental issues, is that it is kind of an all of the above approach. Yeah. We're not going to get away from fossil fuels immediately. That's not what works. It's right. Unreasonable. There's AI data centers. There's so much happening. But looking critically at the impacts, deciding how we take an all of the above approach and not sticking our heads in the ground like the Trump administration has done by basically telling EPA scientists you can't do science. No more sciencing in the EPA anymore, people.
Right.
I mean, it's bananas.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have to be an EPA scientist to know that if you don't farm and use sustainable agriculture, you're going to have runoff of that really rich topsoil. Like you can see that without having a PhD or being a climate scientist.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're joined this half hour for this Wednesday's installment of Broad Appeal by Sarah Harrison. She is the candidate for state Senate in 2026 in District 5. Tell us what are the geographic bounds of District 5? It's a big old district.
It is. It is indeed. So we have all of Pewaukee, all of Brookfield, all of Elm Grove, a little tiny slice of Waukesha, most of Wauwatosa, most of West Allis, and then a little tiny slice of Milwaukee. So it's kind of like a little patchwork. We got a little quilt going on there. And I have run, like I said, twice in the western side of the district, in District 15 for the Assembly, and that is where we have a lot of opportunity because Waukesha County was one of four counties to move further blue last fall, so we really have to be out there talking to the people, getting them to the polls, and there's a real opportunity to do that here.
I am so excited for this race in particular, Sarah. I hope you're on our airwaves on this program frequently as we move into 2026 because it is highly winnable. And I think it is an incredible microcosm for the entire state, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe as goes District 5, so goes Wisconsin. We're going to keep this great discussion going. We're going to talk about Sarah, the mom, as well as the candidate and business owner when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, we can't read a deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Sing along with us.
I'm Maggie Dawn. I've got candidate for the 5th Senate District, Sarah Harrison. With me, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We do this segment every Wednesday at 4:30. We call it Broad Appeal. I bring on women organizers, activists, electeds, candidates, and we talk about what's got their juices flowing, why they are getting activated in whatever way they are in such trying times in our political environment. And Sarah, you referenced as part of your story, you know, watching one of your kids get up in front of a school board and really not be respected or heard in the way that you would hope, which I find, and listen, I have been in a ton of public hearings. I have been the one standing in front of an angry room of 200 people. And I always knew that it was my first and foremost job to let people say what they needed to say and acknowledge and actively listen to them. And I just wanted you to share with folks just a little bit about who you are, where you come from, your family, so that people can get to know you more.
Absolutely. So, first and foremost, I'm a mom, right? I have two wonderful young people, and my eldest is actually getting ready to graduate from UW-Milwaukee, studying what they call it JAM. So it's journalism, advertising, and media studies. And like a complete social media guru, I feel bad because, like, I don't know how many times I'm like, can you take a look at this before I post it for my campaign, you know?
I love it.
And for my business and all these things. And then my youngest is a freshman at Madison this year. And just last weekend, I got to see him march with the Badger Band for the first time for halftime. And I am an alumni of the Hawkeye Marching Band, So we're both Big Ten Marching Band geeks.
Girl, you should have told me. I'm an orchestra nerd.
I mean, amazing!
We can nerd it up on logistics and analytics and on band and orchestra nerddom. That's amazing.
Awesome. That Venn diagram often overlap.
Yes. That's not a complete. There might be some correlation there, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to your kids for starting a new journey, completing an educational journey, and looking forward to these next stages in their life. Folks, whether it's Sarah's kids or someone that you know, or maybe you yourself, Civic Media is always looking for talented folks. So check out our job postings at civicmedia.us.
Oh, yeah.
But before, while we were in the break, Sarah, we were talking a little bit about these really close districts.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the through lines between you and Mr. Young, my prior guest, was not only are you both running in basically toss-up Senate districts, but you both are doers. And you talked a little bit to me about what I call like courage and integrity and using that to propel you to beat the odds or to get the win when you've got these very close districts. Talk to folks a little bit about that, because I thought what you had to say was really inspiring.
Absolutely. So I am one who will show up boots on the ground, sometimes literally because it gets awful cold. And I will be on the doors. I am out there talking to folks and listening. And I am a data nerd and I have looked at the numbers. This is the first time we're running under this Senate map for this district. And so what I looked at was the most relevant numbers, which would be the last assembly race. And when I look at those numbers, 50.1% Dem. So you don't get any closer to a complete wash. Now, there's always, of course, the incumbency potential benefit. However, people are pretty fed up. And I am too. And I'm right there with them. I am also, hopefully I can say I'm pissed off.
Yes, you can. You just
did. Okay, good. but, you know, I am sick to death of people who keep pulling resources away from our communities and then wondering why we have all these problems. And I'm ready to hold them accountable firsthand.
Folks, you never know what is possible with a data wonky, get it done, courageous, integrity filled, ticked off lady who has a long track record of success in the private sector and in owning her own business. Sarah, as we close out our time here, when I've got a little bit of time left, one of the things that I love to ask candidates and electeds is, what is something about you that might surprise our listeners? I ran out of time with Trevor, but I've got some time with you. So tell us something that might catch people by surprise.
So this was almost 10 years ago. I was actually in the World Excel Championship.
You mean Excel, like spreadsheets?
Excel, the spreadsheets, yes.
Oh, my. Okay, we're definitely going to have to kiki and have a coffee, like, offline and talk about Excel tricks because, oh, my God.
For sure. Yeah.
So how does this come about? I didn't even know there was such a thing. Yeah. And how did you do?
I didn't know it was a thing either, but a friend of mine actually works at the Microsoft headquarters and kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, you know, I think you would like this. And this was, again, this was like 10 years ago. So I did really well. I was a world semifinalist. I know. Right? But like now it's this whole production thing and there's spotlights and super fancy chairs and like it was just me sitting at my desk doing it.
Knocking out some spreadsheets. I'm assuming that you can do more than just like sum a column, average, mean, all that stuff. You know what I love in a spreadsheet is a little present value analysis.
Ooh.
Boy, that is some helpful stuff. Seriously, we're going to have to talk because I love this stuff. And folks, this is just going to be an abashed Maggie thing here. And Sarah, I hope you don't mind if I do this. If I had a nickel for every time I was talking to someone in a leadership position in government
And I busted out a spreadsheet and I was like, see, so I did this analysis and we got these weighted factors here. Here's this present.
Yeah.
And they just gloss over and they're like, I don't do Excels or lawyers. I'm like, oh dear. So Sarah, if I lived in your district, you would have my vote just off the Excel expertise, but you're so much more. Folks, find out more about Sarah and her platform at Sarah4WI.com. That's Sarah, SarahWI.com. Thanks so much, Sarah. Right. When we come back on the other side, I'll be joined by two former federal appeals court judges talking about the crisis moment that we're in.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The sniper shooting at a Dallas processing facility that left one detainee dead and two wounded could have been worse. Todd Lyons, acting head of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, tells CBS News.
The shooter fired indiscriminately into vehicles. The detainees were in the vehicle at the time. They were not outside. There was no way you could know detainees were in there.
Officials say the shooter shot and killed himself. Lyons said he believes the shooter deliberately targeted federal law enforcement officials, although no agency personnel were harmed. Homeland Security correspondent Nicole Skanga has more on that facility.
It's home to ICE officials, and there's that holding area for migrants in federal custody. There are also visitors that go there, attorneys, family members, as well as asylum seekers who are going through immigration proceedings that would routinely check in at that facility if they had what's called a notice to appear.
Correspondent Stacy